Hello and welcome to another installment of Casual Trekker. This is Scott. This is going to be my review reaction to Strange New World Season 2, Episode 10, the season finale. And I gotta say, not a fan of cliffhangers, especially during a writer's strike and an actor's strike, when studios can be like, hey, let's just cancel this show because reasons. But that, outside of itself, finally got to the episode where I saw in the trailer where they were having to exit out of a blown-up ship. And I was like, is that like a future Enterprise? And they got to do back a time loop thing? And they got to crush it from happening? No. It was Marie Batel's ship. She was on a planet that was basically doing a colony, and they were there doing support for said colony. And then a shuttle flies into the atmosphere and crashes, and then soon after, they are greeted, using that word very loosely, with a Gorn ship. And then it releases its babies down there to eat people and take it over. They put up a little beacon thing that prevents signal transmission. And then also on this planet with Marie Batel is Nurse Christine Chapel, where she's saying her goodbyes to them and saying that she's going to be leaving tomorrow. So the beginning of season 3, whenever that's going to be, will be met with the leaving of Christine Chapel. So it looks like she's not going to be in season 3, it sounds like. Because after the events of this, she would then leave and that would be season 3. So it's looking like Christine Chapel's not going to be in season 3 of Strange New Worlds, based off this being a cliffhanger. So she's not going to be able to do something off camera in between seasons and then be back for season 3. At least that's my read on it. But then the Enterprise comes, there's debris, the ship's blown to shit. We find out that you bet Nurse Chapel beamed up to Marie's ship, and then Spock and them are looking through the debris, trying to find life signs. They can't find any. And so then the plan is that they're going to do a controlled sort of, they're going to send the saucer of the destroyed ship down into the planet to take out the beacon. Well, before that, we learn that Nurse Christine Chapel is alive on the destroyed ship, and she's able to jury-rig the system to where it stays on for one more hour while she figures out what the heck she's going to do. During that time, she sees Spock out the window, gets into her little EV suit thing, and goes out there and joins him. But this is on the bridge where the Gorn looks like it's going to attack Spock, and then she's able to get the gun, and he's able to bash the headpiece in, and then she shoots him, and then it dies, and they're able to eject out before it lands through the planet and destroys the beacon. And then we find out that the Gorn are transporting up the people that were on the surface, and it wasn't the Enterprise. Kind of got that red flag when we saw the transporter beam. I'm like, that's not the transporter beam. Then come to find out, the Gorn took them as prisoners of war, or doing what they did with Lon back in the day. Whatever they did with her then, it sounds like that's what they're going to do now. Unless season 3 is going to introduce us to the other versions of the Gorn that are the ones that are actually part of the hierarchy. And we're going to find out that there's different types of Gorn. Something to that nature. But that's all speculation. right now at the stands, we are on a cliffhanger. Not only is the Marie's ship, I keep calling her Marie because I can never remember her last name, and Marie is easier to say. So Marie was alive. They were able to get her off onto the Enterprise. But on the Enterprise, and before the Enterprise, we find out that she was pulling a hammer, basically with babies being put into her arm, and they're about ready to hatch. And she's like, if this starts going south, take me down. So this season finale left it a lot of things in play. And going back to that shuttle that came down to the planet, we find out that it's Montgomery Scott, Lieutenant Junior Grade, who was able to devise a way to avoid detection by the Gorn. But he's using antimatter, so they're able to basically follow him to the planet. And he crashed, and he's able to hide, and so were some of the other people of the survivors. And he's not like just a quick little thing. I'd say he's in a fair amount of the episode. So that was kind of cool. And to hear him sound like he's Montgomery Scott, and he's very ingenuitive, he's like jury rigging stuff, he's very MacGyvery. It's really reminiscent of Scotty. I don't know how the fan base is going to react to a new Scotty, but we've already had a new Kirk, Uhura, Spock. Now we got a Scotty, Nurse Chapel, number one, Pike. So, I mean, there's only so many people left from the original series that you have to kind of show now. You just have Chekov and Sulu, I think, of the primary cast, and Bones. So, we're getting closer and closer to having a full TV reboot of the original series while not being the original series. That's the important distinction. They can introduce all these characters and show what they're doing in the world, but they're not going to put them all on the Enterprise and redo the original series. That would just be too much work and effort, and then cause a lot of complications, especially with what happened in the original series and how that relates to the movies and how that connects into the Next Generation movies and how that relates into the Kelvin movies. So it's hard to do that because of all those things and how the cards are stacked. Overall episode, I would say, while you're watching it, you know Pike has to die in that explosion at least go into the beepy chair. Yeah, he has to go to that beepy chair so he can't die. And we know that Spock has a colorful future from Boimler telling him that in the previous episode. Two episodes ago. So ago. About his future. So we know that he can't die. So from our perspective, there's no real threat here. We know they're all going to be fine. But that's not how you're supposed to watch the episode. You're supposed to watch it from the perspective of the characters. And only person that'll know he's not going to die is on board the Enterprise. And one could argue that you just have to match your fate. Don't necessarily have to die at that moment. So granted, Pike's supposed to end up in that beepy chair. It's supposed to be an explosion. That doesn't mean that he can't be exploded and meet his untimely demise in a similar way. So one could argue that. Also, we know from tomorrow, that the timeline has been altered. So the events going forward might not necessarily be the original series. It's going to be prime timeline adjacent. It's not going to be as far apart as what, say, the Kelvin timeline is. It's going to be pretty close. Things are going to happen within a margin of error of the same thing. It's not going to be like yesterday's Enterprise. It's closer than that. But the things that are being changed and affected aren't world-ending, crazy, canon-defying stuff here. they're just, would it make a difference if they knew who the Gorn were in the original series episode of Arena? Would it matter? Would it change anything? Would it be the same thing? Would the basic idea of the episode be the same? No different than would the Enterprise crew, not knowing what a Romulan looked like for sure, change the overall narrative of the universe if they were to learn earlier? The only time it causes a problem is when an event causes a drastic alteration in the perception. Like having the Borg go back to 2063 and then be there with Zefram Cochran, who talks about these things, and the Federation not putting two and two together. They would have known well in advance, been able to armor themselves, so when their next generation crew landed on the Borg's doorstep in Q-Who, they would have already had a pretty basic understanding of what happens and how it works. And so it would have sped up everything in a large scale. It wouldn't have been a rumor or, oh yeah, that happened on this mission type deal, and how can we make it work for us using this little bit of information? So I think the things they're doing in Strange New Worlds isn't necessarily canon-breaking, defined, oh my god, it's going to ruin everything type deal. It's just changing a line of dialogue. It's changing a situation to be where it's presented differently once we get up to TOS. And because they use the graphic in that time travel episode, Tomorrow, 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 in the beginning, that was the exact graphic from Voyager, episode Relativity, I suspect that man was from the Prime timeline. He went to this timeline that was created by the time agents going back in time. In doing so, it created a new timeline, the one that Pike is existing in. This is why there was an elaborate explanation of what that version of Kirk knew and what Lahan knew. The bridge explosion happened in both timelines. And since the time agent was trying to prevent the bombing of the bridge in the first place, that tells me that in the Prime timeline, the bridge was never destroyed. And one can have an issue with, how come Michael Burnham this, or how come Michael Burnham that? You didn't know this. The time agents are from after the events of Discovery Season 2, but before the events of Discovery Season 3. So after they go ahead in the future agents from the 28th century, the 29th century, whichever one it is, or even maybe even further, travel backwards in time, causing this alteration. So the future that Michael Burnham goes into is going to be the same future that Pike and crew exist in. They just don't know it, because the change happened after she left, but before she arrived. Everyone talks about time being linear and things happening out of order, but the time agents are from the far future, which means you have to get to that point in time for them to do anything. So once you get to the 28th, 29th century, travel back in time, you're causing even a slight margin alteration in the timeline. It just matters how close you are to it. So because the graphic was exactly the same from Relativity, and because both Kirk and Leon both said that the bombing happened, that tells me that original time cop with that graphic from Voyager was from a timeline where the bridge bombing never occurred. So the bridge bombing happened back in the early 21st century. So that means that all of Strange New Worlds is existing inside of this Prime timeline adjacent space, where you can learn things earlier. They aren't necessarily going to change the overall path of where that timeline is going. So with that as the basis, episode is fine. It's good to see. It's ridiculous to think that the only franchise that can use an alien that looks like a really scary alien has to only be like the movie Alien or Aliens or Independence Day or any one of those things. Voyager kind of did a really good thing with Species 8473 or whatever it is. because it's not humanoid. It looks terrifyingly scary. Like, I think if they could bring back Species 8472 with how the Strange New Worlds budget looks, I think it would look properly menacing and great. And just like humans, we don't all look the same. I mean, we've got embryos, and you get babies, then you get toddlers, then you get young adults, then you get adults, then you get the elderly. We evolve. How a baby kitten looks when it's born isn't necessarily the same as it's going to look when it's four. So the Gorn can do a similar thing. Maybe if we were ever to see a different subsection of that species. Like, a cat is an Earthling. We're an Earthling. A dog is an Earthling. So you could argue that Gorn have subspecies, some that are more educated and powerful and strong and more smart than the others, and some are just instinctual. So we don't know yet. If in season 3 they show us a Gorn who looks like a Gorn, similar, not exactly the same, because you don't want to see a guy in a padded suit. But if we see a Gorn looking similar to the Gorn that we see in Arena, it'll finally put to bed, oh, so that Gorn does exist. They just have different subspecies of the same thing, which is fine. It's good to introduce different parts of one species, because they can't all be exactly the same. So, back to the stakes. When you first start the episode, they come down, they take over the planet, they put that thing up to prevent any kind of transporter or signals or whatever else. All those people think they're just dead. The Enterprise comes in, sees the ship is blown up, sees that thing is erected to where they can't get through. They think it's hopeless, because Starfleet is like, we're not going to interfere because they're not really, they're attacking outside of our space. Then the Gorn put a line in the sand, essentially, saying anyone crosses this, that's it, you're toast. And then they come up with a way that I feel that they did in a previous episode. I don't know why they were acting like it wasn't done in a previous episode, where they went through a debris field to make it look like they were just debris, and the other people weren't able to detect them. So they did the similar tactic in this. They did it with a shuttle. They made it look like it was debris. And so that's why in the preview, the trailer, it looked kind of funky, because it was being hidden like it was debris. So then at the end, we have a massive conflict. You have the big ship that came down. Then you have all these different other scout ships that are going there, and they're all fighting. And you only have one Enterprise. Everyone's not going to go. April's saying, no, you can't go. So they're not going to engage and make a war. So how season 2 ends is like, holy heck. How are they going to get themselves out of this? And they left it on a cliffhanger. And this is a massive cliffhanger, because it's not like Patrick Stewart in All Good in Best of Both Worlds, where it was just him who might not come back because he was having a contract renegotiation, and they needed to make sure that they were okay. If he didn't come back, they could still keep going the show. We have two different strikes going on right now that could very well potentially delay season 3 from happening until 2025. We're in 2023 right now. And then, not to mention the fact that they could just pull the plug. So it would end up like being like Timeless, where the last episode of the final season, the hatch opens up and they see their future selves, and then that's it. So I'm hoping that if the strike stuff does not pan out for a while, and the contracts all kind of expire, then when everything is figured out And they are able to go back to work because they have the fair contracts for the writers and the actors, that at the very least, they would make a Strange New Worlds movie that would wrap all this stuff up. Just like what they did with Timeless. They made a TV movie just to shore up the stuff to give it a proper send-off. They don't need to do what they do with Manifest, where you have 20 episodes that's kind of like, eh, and forgets what the first season was kind of about, and just stretch things out. They just, one TV movie, 2 hours long, just really wraps up and puts us into the situation. They could even have a time jump at the very end to where they could have the original series crew that already cast on board the ship on its maiden voyage. And all we see from that is Kirk saying, engage. And then that's it. And then we go into the original series. I think that would be fine. Similar to what they did at the end of season 2 of Discovery, when we were on the Bridge of Enterprise under Pike, and they were given the order to go. And then the next time we saw them, it was a different situation. But all in all, I thought it was a really good episode. I'm a little worried about the Nurse Chapel-Spock relationship because the way it ended in the musical, I kind of liked that. Like, he wasn't going to try it again. He's been burned. He should have known better. Now, because of her near-death situation and him almost losing her, I'm afraid it's going to kind of go backwards from there and kind of undo the finality of it all. But maybe it'll be one of those things where they love each other, but they can't be together because it's just not right. And once time passes by and she's gone for a little bit of time, she starts falling for the guy she's supposed to be falling for, Corby. Then maybe when she does come back at some point during season 3, then they'll just be friends and it'll be kind of like a awkward type of thing where she's still in love with him, but she knows she can't be with him, and she's similar to the same way. But it'll be interesting to see how they undo themselves from this episode, which introduced a lot of things. There was a lot going on there, especially with Scotty, who I think they did a really good job on casting. Because when I heard him talking, it reminded me of the original series. It reminded me of Relics. It reminded me of Simon Pegg. All the Scotties kind of just remind you of the same person. So I thought that was pretty cool. Sad this is the season finale, but we don't have long until new Star Trek comes. We do have season 4 of Lower Decks coming September 7th, so about 6 weeks or so. From now, we're going to have Lower Decks taking place in, I think, 2383. From that trailer, it seems like it's going to be fun. We're going to have some sort of Voyager callback situation and reference to those old scientists seeing episode from Strange New Worlds. So, we shall see what happens. Hopefully, fingers crossed, the strike is resolved and the studios finally give the actors and the talent and the writers and the creatives of these shows the due they are properly deserved, because the studio isn't doing anything. It's the people behind the camera that are hired by the studio to do it. I think the studio forgets that. And so they need to be compensated. They need that. Because they need to be shown the appreciation for the craft. On all aspects, from walk-ons to executive producer of the show, to everybody involved in writing all of it. So, hoping, fingers crossed, that this resolves before it gets too late to the point where a show has to be canceled because the contracts are now expired and they have to renegotiate, and it's probably going to be more expensive. So, that is going to conclude it for me on this podcast. Unless I think of something I forgot, and I'll include it below this one as a, and one more thing, as I often have to do because I forget something, obviously. So that will conclude this podcast.